Good morning, friend. This morning I would like to pick up on something that I said in closing yesterday. We were looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we've been stuck, if you will, in verse 3 now for a while. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, there is a clause, an expression. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Because there has been so much confusion about the matter of sanctification over the years, primarily because of such a divergence of opinion that you will find within the different groups of believers, different persuasions, the old line holiness churches. There used to be associations of holiness churches. I believe there are still groups that would maintain those associations. But for the most part, there is a great deal of misunderstanding about what sanctification consists of. And so I think using 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 as a springboard, we're going to take some time and look at this matter of sanctification and what it means to the normal believer, to every believer. Just what place should it have? What does it entail? How important is it? You will no doubt be familiar with the passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow after peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, when we talk about holiness, when we talk about sanctification, in the minds of most people, those two things are inseparably entwined, and in one sense they are. But I want to deal primarily today, and if necessary, in the next broadcast, a study on sanctification. Now, I'm not going to read every passage. I'm not going to spoon-feed this to you. I find for myself that I learn more, I retain more, when I study for myself. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a framework, and I'll give you passages to look up, and then when you have the time, you look these passages up and follow through on this matter, because I want you to see what the Bible says, not what I say about it. So many times when you listen to a radio preacher or a television evangelist or whatever, everything is flashed up on the screen. There it is, and it's zip-zop, and it's over and done. It's a complete package, and when the program is over, the study is done, that's it. But what have you learned? What do you retain? You know, Usually, a week after you hear something, it is unlikely you will remember or retain any more than 10% of it, and that's if it was a dynamic presentation. You'll remember less than 10% of it a week later. Now, when we're talking about sanctification, this is something that better stay with you more than a week. And for that reason, I am not giving it to you in a neatly wrapped little package. I want you to thrash this out for yourself. I want you to study on your own. I want you to pursue this thing. I want it to stick, because if it doesn't bear any fruit in your life, if it doesn't stick, then this has been a waste, and you've not helped yourself, and you've not helped your cause before the Lord. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 begins there. And in the first part of that verse, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, when we talk about sanctification, I'm going to be doing this in a kind of a clinical style. I mean, I'm not preaching; I'm teaching, and I'm going to give you verses. I'll give you references for them. Some of them we'll look at; some of them we won't, because simply we don't have time in a 14-15 minute program to do this justice. But I can give you the tools, I can give you a direction and a nudge, and you can follow this on your own, okay? Now, if you do have pencil and paper, be ready to write down references, and I'll also mention this. If you, in listening to this broadcast and this particular little side trip here into the matter of sanctification, as you listen to it, if you think that this is worth having, if you will make your wish known to us. I'll be glad to see to it that you get a copy of this broadcast, and if it goes on into another one, you'll get that one as well. But I urge you, if you want this on tape, feel free to contact me. Area code 740-742-2431, or you can drop a note by the radio station there in Point Pleasant, and I'll see to it. Don't forget, please, to include your address or a phone number, some way we can get in touch with you so I know how to get the material to you. But I suppose at this point it would be customary to say, please send us your money. if you find that this is a worthwhile broadcast and you would like to have the tapes, all I'm asking is that you provide enough money to cover the cost of the tapes and the postage getting it there. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to make a donation to keep this broadcast on the air or any other pitch like that, okay? My pockets aren't deep enough to supply everything that everybody would want. So as long as we understand each other there, feel free to contact me and I'll see to it that you get this material. All right. Sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Notice, please, first of all, it is personal, it is yours, and it's possessive. Sanctification needs to be possessed by you, by every believer. If we define the term sanctification, we would be talking about separation to God, the imputation of Christ as our holiness, purification from moral evil, and conformation to the image of Christ. You say, what? These are all aspects, practical aspects of practical sanctification. Separation to God, the imputation of Christ as our holiness, purification from moral evil, and conformation to the image of Christ. That last one coming from in the passage there in Romans chapter 8, and whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Okay? Now, the definition, let's look at this in depth. We talk about separation to God. This presupposes separation from defilement. God's people are to be a holy people. They are to be free from that which defiles. It implies, this matter of separation to God, dedication to God. And this is Old Testament as well as New Testament. In the Old Testament, you will find that there were things, objects, that were sanctified to God or dedicated to God, consecrated to God. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 14, verse 16, we find that houses and fields could be dedicated or sanctified for the Master's use. In the New Testament, you'll find that Christians are to be sanctified. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Things can be dedicated to God, sanctified to God. Believers need to be sanctified to God. Separation to God presupposes separation from defilement and dedication to God. The second aspect of this definition, the imputation of Christ as our holiness. When Christ became our righteousness, he also became our holiness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Now, I realize that in all likelihood I'm going to give you references faster than you're taking them down because you're trying to listen and write at the same time. That's why I encourage you to drop me a line and I'll see to it that you get this on an audio cassette, okay? Now, the imputation of Christ is our holiness. When Christ became our righteousness, he also became our holiness. And this holiness is obtained by faith in Christ. Acts chapter 26. Verse 18. Holiness is obtained by faith in Christ. Now we're going to be splitting this into two different directions here in a moment, between positional holiness or sanctification and experimental or experiential sanctification, but we'll get to that later on. All right. The definition talked about separation to God, the imputation of Christ as our holiness, and third, purification from moral evil. Oh, incidentally, this matter of Christ being our holiness, please keep in mind that that is essential. Isaiah tells us, even in the Old Testament, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You and I cannot work up holiness of such a degree as to be pleasing to God. Not by ourselves. It can't be done. All right, purification from moral evil, separation from evil. It was ordered, God ordered the priests to sanctify themselves before drawing near to God. You remember that David, in Psalm 66, verse 18, made a statement. He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Christian, you having trouble getting your prayers answered? You having trouble feeling the presence of God, being aware of the presence of God? I suspect there's sin in your life, and you need to confess that to Him. You need to get that right. You need to separate from moral evil. Today's Christians are to separate from the ungodly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Well, as a matter of fact, I think we've got time for this. Let me read the entire passage here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Notice this is a command. This prohibition is for all or against all relationships that an individual might have with an unbeliever. Now, we're not speaking so much in terms of a prohibition against let's say, a believer working for a corporation that is not necessarily a Christian organization. That prohibition does not go that far, unless, of course, that corporation or that business is involved in something you know to be contrary to the Word of God. I would have a difficult time rationalizing or justifying a Christian driving a beer truck or working for a distillery or being a drug runner or pimping for a prostitute. No, there are some things a Christian just simply is not to be involved in. But otherwise, here, he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Incidentally, you remember you are the temple of the Holy Spirit if you are a believer. "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore," verse 17, "wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate." Notice the imperative voice. "Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." But notice, please, that that familial relationship with the Lord is presupposed, it is predicated upon this separation from that which is unclean. Now, and as I look at the clock, I see we're not going to get much farther in this. We'll stop here, I believe, and pick it up in the next broadcast. I want you to get this, so we'll take as much time as necessary to get through this, okay? Like I said, you want to hear this on tape, you want to get it on tape, drop me a line. Well, that's it for today. I hope you'll join me the next time for the next edition of The Bible Says.